Open your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians. Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. The name of the message is Christ Whom We Preach. Christ Whom We Preach. I was thinking about something. I was talking to a couple guys today, and one fellow said, you know, the problem with America today is the schools. They got the schools. But you know what? I think I know what's the real problem in America, if there's a problem. It's sin, yeah. It's sin, but it's the pulpits. Christ not being preached. Christ not being preached in the pulpits, beloved. People think that they can do whatever they want to do because these fellows are preaching a weak God who can't do nothing and won't do nothing. But we preach God who's sovereign. God is in full control over all, over the whole world. The whole world. And the amazing thing is this. God Himself, God the Father, in order to deal with our sin, had to send His only begotten Son. The Son of God, the Word of God, had to become flesh. The second person of the Trinity had to become flesh in order for our sin to be dealt with. That's how serious our sin is. That's how serious. And we've sinned against God, haven't we? Think about this. The very God we've sinned against sent Christ into this world. Because He knew there's no other way for us to be saved. And God didn't go to plan B when Adam fell. I used to believe that. He didn't go to plan B. When the Jews rejected Christ, that wasn't part of plan B either. I remember saying that stuff when I was in religion. It's just a lie. God has always purposed and planned that the Gentiles would be part of the elect of God. And the elect of God comprised both Jews and Gentiles who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And every sent gospel preacher, we preach Christ. We preach Jesus Christ. There's no other salvation. Outside of Christ, there's no salvation. But in Christ, oh, what a mighty salvation we have. All our sins are washed clean by the precious blood of the Lamb. God's Lamb. God's Lamb. The Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. The sent one, Brother Dave. The sent one. Sent to save us from our sins. It's wonderful. My. Look at verse. Let's read verses 21 to 29. Our verse will be in verse 28. But look at this. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. That was us. In our minds, we were alienated from God because of our sin, because of our fallen Adam. We were alienated, right, from God. And we were enemies in our minds. People say, I had one lady who professed to be a believer. And she said, I was never an enemy. I was never an enemy with God. Well, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the Scriptures. The Scripture says right there, doesn't it say right there? That in our minds, we were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now, look at this. This is wonderful. That was the past, beloved. Yet now, Brother Zane, hath he reconciled. Brother Dave, we're reconciled. Sister D, we're reconciled to God through Christ. We fell in Adam, and now we're reconciled. It's wonderful. Look at this. In the body of His flesh, He became a man. And then what did He do to redeem us? Well, He died. Look at this. In the body of His flesh through death to present you. Now look at this. Look at the picture it paints in verse 21. We were alienated. We were enemies in our mind by wicked works. We're sinners to the core, right? But look at this next verse. This is absolutely incredible. Look at this. And you are in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy. That's why we're called saints. We're holy in Christ. We're set apart in Christ. We're set apart in Him to present you holy. Unblameable. There can be no charge brought against us, Dave, in Christ. No charge. This is what the scripture says about God's people. And notice, he's not saying, well, when you get to heaven, this is what you're going to be. It's right now. It's right now. Look at this. Unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. God sees us all the time, doesn't he? My, if you continue in the faith, well, he's going to keep us, isn't he? Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Who's the hope of the gospel? Someone tell me. Who's the hope of the gospel? Christ. Amen, Brother Zane. Christ is the hope of the gospel. He's our only hope. We have no hope outside of Christ. This is wonderful. Which ye have heard, Christ had been preached to them. See, when Paul and Silas and Timothy went places, they didn't tell the Christians what they had to do. They told them about what's already done. They didn't lay down a bunch of rules and regulations. They preached Christ, the only hope for sinners. And if the Son will make you free, I'll tell you what, you're free indeed, aren't you? Oh, it's wonderful, beloved. Absolutely wonderful. So we've heard, and we've been giving them hearing ears, haven't we? In which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now rejoice, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my body, or in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. The church is the body of Christ. Whereof I am made a minister. He didn't choose it. No preacher chooses to become a pastor. I was doing the work of an evangelist before God called me to pastor. I thought that's what I was going to be doing. Going out in the streets and talking to people. I loved it. Going down the mission and preaching down there. I loved it. And then God called me to preach. Well, it's amazing. He puts you in the ministry. You don't put yourself in the ministry. It's absolutely amazing. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now look at this. Look at this. Now some people say this. They say, well, it's not fair that God saves a certain people and passes by everybody else. Do you know that before Christ came, the gospel was hid? It was hid to the Egyptians. It was hid to the Amorites. It was hid to the Canaanites. It was hid to all the other folks. Israel had the oracles of God, didn't they? They were the chosen nation. Now look what it says here. Look at this. Verse 26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. God has manifested Christ to us. He was hid for ages and generations. My. Now all the Old Testament elect, they looked to the Messiah, didn't they? But we know that all that came out of Egypt weren't all Israel, were they? They were a mixed multitude, beloved, believers and unbelievers. Oh my. Look at that. But now it's made manifest to his saints. So to be manifest means to be revealed. It had to be revealed. See, the gospel comes to us by divine revelation, beloved. God reveals the gospel to us through the Holy Spirit of God, through the preaching of his word. Or else we'll never know him. Or else it'll be hid, like it's here, hid from ages and from generations. But it's now made manifest. It's been manifested to us, brother. Now we see. We didn't see before the Lord saved us. No. Sister D, we've talked about that before. We were just blinded and dead in sin. Didn't see Christ. Oh, now he's glorious now. He's wonderful. He's amazing. My. Look at this. What is he made known to us? To whom God would make known what is the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have a hope, beloved. We have a hope that the Old Testament saints were looking to the Messiah. We have a hope looking back to Christ on the cross and looking to him now in glory. Right? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then see, we see Paul, see, what, look at what Paul brings up in verse 20, whom we preach. I have nothing else to preach. I'll be honest with you. I have nothing else to preach but Christ. Now, I'm going to come at different things from the scriptures, but it's always going to be through Christ. It has to be. It has to be, beloved. He's the hub with all the spokes go out from him. And as I said, when Christ isn't being preached from the pulpit, then works is being preached from the pulpit. Then a God of people's imagination is being preached from the pulpit. And I think that's the problem all around the world. There's a famine in the land of the Word of God. And if you find a Grace Church, if you find a Grace Church to attend, stay there and rejoice and support the work, because there are not very many of them anymore. Where Christ and Him crucified is being preached. My, oh my. Look at this. Whom we preach, warning every man, heaven or hell, right? There's only two destinations, and it's real. Spurgeon had a sermon called Turn or Burn. You don't hear much about that anymore, eh? Turn or burn. It's true. Turn to Christ or burn. Oh, my. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, look at that. How can we be presented perfect in Christ Jesus? Well, let's go back up here. Let's go back up to verse 22. Look at this. It's only in Christ, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that wonderful? Here we are, still sinners. Still sinners. But yet, in Christ, we're holy. We're unblameable. Or unreprovable in God's sight. We've already been qualified for heaven in Christ. Already, we're already seated in heavenly places. As far as God's concerned, it's all over. He knows the beginning from the end, right? Oh, my, it's wonderful. I'll tell you what. This is just wonderful. Look at what Paul says here. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mighty. I love this last verse here. Because all of God's people, we labor for the Lord, don't we? Every saint of God, we labor for the Lord, whether it be in prayer, whether it be supporting a work, whether it be teaching, whether it be just being together in church, everything. We're laboring for the Lord together. I covet your prayers more than anything. I'll tell you that. But look at this. Whereunto I also labor. That's for Christ, and that's not for any gain or to gain merit and favor with God. No, not at all. None of us come, even attend, to gain merit and favor with God. We come because we want to hear the word. We want to hear the gospel preached, don't we? Look at this. Striving according to whose working? See, religion will say, it's your working. It's your working. Look what it says in the text. Now, this could silence. If people only believe what the Bible says, this could silence so much stuff out there. Look at this. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. People trying to get, I need more fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to try to gain it. I need to be more happy. I've even met people this week. I got to be more happy. There ain't no way you're going to be happier unless the Holy Spirit works it in you. And you know how you rejoice? We rejoice, brother, when we hear the gospel. Oh, my. It lifts our soul, doesn't it? Point me to Christ. Let me just hear about Christ. Let me hear about my Savior. Let me hear about He who redeemed my eternal soul with His precious, precious blood. Just tell me more about Him. And look at that. Paul says, whom we preach. They don't preach nothing else. If you go through Paul's epistles, he is continuously pointing the hearers to Christ. Now, he gives instruction, of course, and the Bible has instruction for righteousness, right? It tells us how to live. It tells us what to avoid, right? There's lots of things we should avoid. Even in the first part here, it says, and you that were sometimes alienated in your minds by wicked works. Even though we know we're sinners, we try to stay away from wicked works, don't we? Do you sin more than you want to? Yeah, we're all smiling, yeah? We do, don't we? My, oh my. So there's only one whom we preach, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 27 again. Whom we preach, warning every man. Now Paul's made it very clear here with these words to the Colossian believers, the Colossian church. And he's under house arrest here. But he's making it so clear whom he preaches. Who is the center of his preaching? Whom we preach. Christ, hey. He's making it so clear, isn't he, brother? You can't mess that up. Whom we preach. Now, I'll tell you what. You can tell a false preacher from a true preacher. Because a false preacher will preach himself. True preacher will point you to Christ. Now, he may use examples that happened in his life to point you to Christ, too. Right? But this guy over here, the false preacher, he wants all the glory. This preacher over here, sent by God, he wants Christ to get all the glory. My, oh my. And always remember this, it's not the man, it's the message. Zane, we've talked about that. It's not the man, it's the message. People get so tied up on the man. It's not the man. I'm just a messenger. I'm a messenger. I deliver the report to you who I love. And God does whatever he wills with it. Isn't it wonderful? And we all rejoice together. But I only got one message. Christ, the only Savior for sinners. Christ was crucified for the sins of his people. Someone says, well, how do I know if I'm one of his people? Flee to Christ. You'll find out real fast. Oh, because the only ones who flee to Christ are those who are the elect of God. I'll tell you that. Because they're made willing in the day of God's power. And God works mightily in them, as Paul said at the latter part of that verse. But we still proclaim, right? Flee to Christ. He's the sinner's only hope. All sinner friend. We're just a bunch of sinners here saved by grace, aren't we, beloved? That's all we are. We're not holier than thou. We're not. As a matter of fact, we think we're the least of all saints. We think we're the chief of sinners. And I'll tell you what, that's one thing you find in the congregations, a whole bunch of chiefs. Chiefs of sinners. Right? And I marvel. Do you marvel, beloved, that Christ saved our souls? That God sent him, the Father sent him into this world. And because of his perfect sinless work, because he was the perfect sinless substitute, let's marvel at this again. We are one day going to be presented to him, holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. And we are that way right now, beloved. Because God says, I don't remember your sin no more. Now that's not in the future. That's right now. Isn't that wonderful? Woo, my. This is good news for sinners, isn't it? My, oh my. Acts 28:30 says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Now this is where he's writing the letter from. He's in Rome. He's in a hired house. He spent 2 years there and received all that came unto him. Now, Paul, well, he's in prison, but he's still receiving everyone who come to him. Anyone he can preach the gospel to, he's going to preach the gospel to. And he didn't sit there and tell them 50 ways how to clean up your life. He preached Christ. He preached Christ the Lord. That's who. Whom we preach. Warning every man, right? He's warning them. He's warning them. And this is what he did, Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Right? With all confidence, no man forbidden him. Here he's under house arrest. He's got these guards there too. And all them guards, they're hearing the gospel every day. You imagine the Lord saved one of them and all of a sudden he's like listening even more. Big old smile on his face. He's listening. Oh, tell me more, Paul. I get to stand here for 8 hours and listen to Paul preach and talk about Christ. Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, my. Well, that's how it feels even when we get together, isn't it? And we can sit and talk and rejoice after service or before service. It's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. And no man forbade him from preaching. God opened the door. He opened the door. My, oh, my. And he's telling the Colossian believers here that the same gospel which he preaches is the same gospel that Epaphras, who is a faithful preacher to them, same gospel he preaches. Same gospel. God's sent gospel preachers preach the same gospel. Salvation in Christ alone, by the perfect sin atoning work of Christ alone, redeemed by his precious, precious blood, and he was raised again for our justification. My. And God gives us faith as a gift. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. It's a gift. Lest any man should boast. Right? Oh, it's wonderful. So who gets all the glory? Amen. Christ gets all the glory. That's right. Oh, my. So Paul, what Paul's showing us here in just this little section here, when he says, whom we preach, warning every man, he's actually bringing to attention to the Colossian believers the heart of what he preaches. The subject and the person who he preaches, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't mess around with other things. I'll tell you what, when Christ is set before us, what a hope we have. Because there's nothing we have to do for our salvation. That's wonderful, isn't it? It's done. I preach a finished work, already accomplished. Now we by faith run to Christ and trust and rest in him by God-given faith. Yes, we do that, but that's by God-given faith. Could we muster that up? No. That even has to be given to us. And then God's got to work in us too. Right? As Paul said, mightily. Oh, my. But it's wonderful. And the more we learn about Christ, the more we fall in love with him. The more wonderful he is. The more beautiful he is. The more incredible he is. He saved my soul? Willingly? When I was an enemy in my mind, as it says there, look at that, as it says, it says in verse 21, I was alienated from God by my wicked works, and I was an enemy to God, and so were you, beloved, right? All of us, by wicked works, but yet now hath he reconciled us. Do you know the preaching of the gospel is the ministry of reconciliation? Reconciliation through who? Amen, brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be reconciled to God, is there? No other way. He's bringing home the main subject of his preaching. And this is the main subject of every gospel preacher, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We have one message, and we preach and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, in the riches of his glory, in the mystery of the gospel, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ is not just any mere man. He's God incarnate in the flesh. I was listening to a Jew on YouTube this week. And he said, we don't even recognize Christ even as a prophet. And I thought to myself, they're blind. They're totally blind. They're totally blind. And they said, we don't acknowledge that he was the Messiah, and here I am, a Gentile dog, right? Know my past, know who I was, know what I did, and the Lord saved my soul and revealed to me who he is. And same with you, brother. Same with you, sister. Isn't it wonderful? And here's this educated man, reads the Hebrew Torah, reads all that stuff, and has no idea who Christ is. Hid. Remember in the passage we read? Hid from generations. But is now made manifest to what? His saints. He's manifested himself to us. Oh, my soul. That's incredible. He's revealed himself to us. There's nothing special in us, is there? No, as a matter of fact, if anything, our sin should keep us away from him. But he's such a loving, wonderful, merciful Savior that he saves all those whom the Father gave him. And he loves them with an everlasting love, an eternal love that will never, ever change. Doesn't change based upon what we do. Doesn't change based upon our circumstances. Doesn't change if we forget even who we are when we get older. Does not affect it at all. Isn't that wonderful? Because Christ has us. We're his. And I was thinking about this. I'm going to put it in, you probably hear it again in Philippians study. In the first part of Philippians, he says, Paul and Timotheus, a servant of Jesus Christ, right? Okay. Servant there in the Greek is doulos, which is a slave. I was listening to a fellow this week. He brought this out. I thought it was tremendous. We can be a servant to many, right? I can be a servant to you, Zane, and to you, Sister Dee, and Dave, and Vicky, and Sister Diane, and the people in the church. I can be a servant. I can be a servant to all of you, and you can be servants to all of us, too, right? But as a doulos, as a slave, we only have one owner. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. And we've willingly, Brother Zane said, bore my ear, Lord. I'm yours. Isn't that beautiful? And then Scripture says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That seal is a mark in the Greek. We've been marked by God. And it's a mark of ownership. You're bought with a price. And that what's the price? The precious, precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? My. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? That's incredible that Christ would do that for us. Make my face leak here, my goodness. It's incredible. It's absolutely amazing. But it's true. We're bought with a price. And that's the precious blood of Christ. So Paul's showing here the main subject of his preaching, the main subject of every gospel preacher who's sent by God. One message, that's preaching Christ and him crucified. God incarnate in the flesh, the express image of the Father, the head of the church, the only mediator between God and man. Yeah, no man on this earth can be a mediator. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Who gave himself a ransom for all. And who did he give himself a ransom for all? All the elect. Every single one of the elect. He ransomed our eternal souls with the shedding of his precious, precious blood. And let us remember, too, that now Colossus, in Colossus, they were dealing with something a little bit different. They were dealing with the, what were they called? The Gnostics. The Gnostics in Colossus. And we saw in Galatians they were dealing with the Judaizers. And now we've seen in Philippians they're dealing with the Judaizers too. But in Colossus they're dealing with the Gnostics, which believed that there was a hierarchy of angels in order to get to God. So you started with one angel, you prayed to him, and you start with another, all the way up until the top angel. And Christ was just one of them angels, they said. But they also said the only way you could know how to have this knowledge of what's right is to go through the teachers. They had the secret knowledge. Yeah, exactly, brother. Yeah, secret knowledge. Only they could give. Well, I'll tell you this. If you read the book of Colossians, what you're going to find out is that this book is all about the preeminence of Christ. So what Paul's doing is he's setting forth Christ as the preeminent one as opposed to all those false angels and stuff that people say. See, this is why we don't pray to saints. There's only one mediator. See, the Gnostics taught that there was all these mediators. Sounds very similar to a church that we know, doesn't it, Brother Dave? The Catholic Church, they have all these saints people pray to. And then, of course, they have the biggest idol, which is Mary. It's basically, the church is Mary worship, is basically what it is. I was in it, I know. Praise God, he delivered me from it. And I pray that if anyone's listening tonight who's in it, that God would deliver you from it. Because Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only mediator between God and man. There's no other one. No other one. And as a matter of fact, if you start to mix grace with works, and grace, Christ has become no effect to you, Paul wrote to the Galatians, whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. My, oh my. So we preach Christ to lost sinners. The only hope. The only hope for sinners. And me being a saved sinner, I'm just telling one beggar, I'm a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's in Christ. He's the bread of life, isn't he? You know, if you eat Christ, the bread of life, by faith, if you rest in him, I'll tell you, you won't need nothing else. Oh, rich as I eat not, right? Nor man's empty praise. We don't need that. No. We are rich in Christ, beloved. My. And only in Christ Jesus can our sins be forgiven. The only way for a sinner to have their sins forgiven is in Christ and by Christ. That's the only way. Only by the pardoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only his sacrifice. Only the sacrifice of Christ can satisfy God's holy, perfect law. You know why? Because he's the perfect one, offering himself up, perfectly fulfilling the law of God as the substitute of his people. When he hung there as our substitute. The law is complete. He's fulfilled it. He's sinless. So who's he fulfilling it for then? All them sinners he came to save, right? Called the elect of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, it said of him, he shall save his people from their sins. Praise God, he done it, didn't he? He done it. It's finished. So if it's finished, is there anything for us to do? Oh, we just look and live, don't we? Rest. Now that's the hardest thing for us to do right there, is rest. Just rest in the finished work of Christ. But by God's grace, he gives us that, eh? Oh my, we still struggle though. Peter, Lord help my unbelief. I'll tell you, I don't know how much I cry that all the time too. Are you just like Peter, like me? Oh, help me, Lord, help my unbelief. My, oh my. I was talking to some folks this week and they were saying, well, unbelief's the only sin that can never be forgiven. And I said, well, we're all in trouble then. And they kind of looked at me. I said, do you ever doubt God? You ever have unbelief? You profess to be a Christian, but you still have unbelief? Praise God, it's all washed under the blood. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if a person dies in their sins, not looking to Christ, they will perish. They will perish in their sins. But if a believing believer, anyone who tells you that believers don't doubt, they're lying. Now our assurance comes from Christ, right? So when we look to Christ, then we have assurance. We have, right? But what happens when we start to look away a little bit? Well, our assurance gets a little shaky, doesn't it, sometimes? Or we start to get unbelief and doubt. But is that all forgiven? Amen. Washed under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh my. You see how a man just puts all these legal obligations on people? I keep telling them across the road, I'm free. I'm free in Christ. One guy says, you better be ready. You better be ready to face Christ. I said, I'm ready. I'm in Christ. Now if I wasn't in Christ, I'd be worried. But if you're in Christ, no one can bring a charge against God's elect? Who can? You know why? Because it's God that justified. We're justified by God, sister. My. People can say whatever they want about us. Doesn't change the fact that we're justified by God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my. I'm just so thankful that I'm saved by the work of Christ, are you? It doesn't depend upon what we do. Yeah, I'll tell you, we are so free. So we preach Christ and Him crucified. There's only salvation in Christ. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And then in our text there, it says, warn in every man. So Paul had a twofold message. Whom we preach, that being Christ, and warning every man. Warning every man. Instructing every man. Someone said the blessings of God are hedged in about side by side by the warnings of God, lest any presume, and on the other side the promises of God, lest any despair. We're hedged in Christ. In Christ. And it's the duty of the minister to warn of about the carelessness people have about the wrath of God, too. It's real. It's real. The only reason we will not face the wrath of God as believers is because it fell on Christ. But I'll tell you what, outside of Christ, it's going to fall upon the sinner. My, oh my. Flee to Christ. He's the only hope. He's the only hope. And the context of this letter is Paul's warning the Colossians about the false teachers, as well as unregenerate people who heard the message of mixing law and grace. It's wrong. Flee from it. It's a false gospel. Salvation's only in Christ. So he's warning every man. He's teaching and proclaiming Christ in Him crucified. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to go all the way to 6:2. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, there's the key right there. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now you love the gospel. Now you love Christ. Now you love the Bible. This is amazing. And all things are of God, who hath... Look, who's doing the work here as we read this? Who's doing the work? Who's reconciling who? Who hath reconciled us to himself? He did it! The Lord Jesus Christ reconciled us to God, the Father, by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of be ye reconciled to God. Right? Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did besiege us by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ and be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. For he hath made him to be sin for us. All the sins of God's elect were imputed to Christ, laid upon him. Oh my. Who knew no sin? He never did a sin in thought, word, or deed. Why? Why did God lay upon Christ our sins? Why did he impute them to Christ? Well, look at this. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Look at this. We then, as workers together with him, remember he's working in us mightily? We're servants for him now. Beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he hath, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might not come. There's people who died today in this world thinking they're going to, oh, tomorrow, and they're gone. Six workers on the bridge, just working away there on the bridge, not even thinking of anything. Boom, that ship hits it, and they're gone. Gone. I know they kept looking for them. They were gone within an hour. Not even that, probably. My, oh my. But now, they thought they'd going home after their shift. Didn't know. Oh my. And this applies to today too. We warn every man of the judgment to come. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. It doesn't say after this the party. No, it says after this the judgment. Remember when we were foolish before the Lord saved us, we thought we were going to party in hell with our friends? No, after this the judgment. Praise God he saved us from that, Dave. Hallelujah. That he saved us and took us out of that, man. My, oh my. What a merciful God we have. Oh, he's so good to us. So we warn all men, you cannot justify yourself before God. You cannot save yourself. The only one who we can be saved in, the only one who we can appear in God's presence in, is the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. My. Because all the world are guilty before God. If we all got what we deserved, we'd all perish in hell. But praise God, he planned and purposed to have mercy upon a people. We don't know who they are. You don't know who they are who's listening. No one knows who they are but God. And that's why we say flee to Christ, the only hope for sinners. My, oh my. And if God doesn't save you, you'll be left in your sins and you're going to perish. And men willingly go to hell. I'll tell you what. Don't they? Oh yeah, they do. Oh, I was listening to that fella, I was telling you, that Jewish fella, and it became very clear that he hated God. Because the minute somebody started pressing him on the resurrection, he got lit up. Didn't want to hear nothing about it. I don't believe that stuff. Da-da-da. Oh well. Yeah, you're dead in sins. Of course you don't. My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to Luke. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. My, oh my. I got to close this up soon. Look at this. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 3 and going to verse 8. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And look at this. You know, that's us. The crooked shall be made straight. We were crooked. We'd be made straight, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. Oh, we were stones. We were hard as a rock. Oh my, we got new hearts now, don't we, Brother Zane? Oh, heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness now. Oh my, isn't that wonderful? Oh, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. My. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It's coming. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Oh, we're good. We got Abraham. We got Moses. We got the law. Don't say that. He can't save you. Abraham needed a savior just like we did, didn't he? He's an idol worshiper. We saw a couple weeks ago, he's in the land of Ur worshiping idols just like we were before. God called, the only reason he came out of Ur, because God called him out of Ur. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why are we saved and all people around us aren't? Because we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh my, my. We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And he has with the Gentiles, hasn't he? A multitude that no man can number. Oh my. Our text continues, teaching every man in all wisdom. The Apostle Paul taught every man in wisdom. He proclaimed the unsearchable riches of Christ. He said, we're not saved by our own strength. We're saved by Christ and Christ alone. My. And that's not the wisdom of the world, is it? No. The world calls the preaching of the gospel foolishness. But we say it's the power of God unto salvation. Right? My. My, oh my. And what does the wisdom of God do? It makes the wisdom of the world absolutely meaningless. We see right through the wisdom of the world now, don't we? We didn't before, but now we do. It's nothing. It's just folly. Just folly. My, it becomes meaningless to us when it comes to the salvation of God's people. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So what are we going to do? We're going to preach Christ. Right? We're going to preach the only Savior. And think of this. College professors stumble over the truths of the gospel. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, poor uneducated people in the eyes of the world, of all the ages are made wise unto salvation. Made wise. Turn, if you would, to Acts. This is marvelous. Acts chapter 4. We're getting close to the end here. Acts chapter 4. This is marvelous right here. I'll tell you what. Whenever I read this passage, I just chuckle. Because this is me. Oh, my. And I marvel God made me a preacher. I'll tell you what. This is amazing. Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 14. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas, somebody help me out here. Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, the man at the gate called Beautiful being healed. And he's leaping and walking and praising God. And he's actually with them in this. We're going to find out. He's with them at the end. If we this day, let's go back here. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 8, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. They're saying, it's not our work. Christ did this. See, they're giving all the glory to the Lord, aren't they? This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, the Israelite leaders, right? Which has become the head of the corner. Look at this. Look at what a statement. Neither is there salvation in any other. Not in Abraham, not in Moses, not in being a Jew, not being in a Gentile. Not by any works. Only, look at this. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's only salvation in Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we, what? Must be saved. If we are to be saved, we must be saved in Christ. There's no other place. And this is God's word. Look at this. I like this. This next verse makes me chuckle. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men. Let's put our hands up, right? Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the men which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. He was right there with them. But I'm like, who are these fishermen? Now, I've met Vicky's dad. He's a fisherman. He's a burly fella. You wouldn't want to mess with him. I'll tell you why. But he knows more about fixing stuff than I'll ever learn in my lifetime. See, these folks, these are these religious folks who think they're more pious than everybody else. They're more better than everybody else. You see them often running around with collars on their neck. You ever see those fellas? Right? Yeah. Backwards collars. Oh, my. Just wanted to tell you how holy they are. But you know, you can't pick a grace preacher when he's out in the restaurant or out in, you can't even tell he's a preacher. Oh my. Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. Yeah, you do too. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, we're new creatures now in Christ, aren't we? Like we looked at earlier. We're not the same. We're not the same as we were. Oh my. And Paul didn't come to them. Paul didn't come to the Corinthians with wisdom of words, did he? He didn't come to Colossae with wisdom of words. He didn't go to Galatia with wisdom of words. He preached Christ. And that man could have come with wisdom of words. He was well educated under one of the best teachers at that time. He says, I just count it all but dung. It's nothing. It's nothing. Look at this. Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians. For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, whom we preach, warning every man. My, oh my. And look at this. He says, and I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He didn't pull out his repertoire of words that he learned under Gamaliel. No. He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It must. Preaching must be accompanied by the Holy Spirit of God, or is it just words? My. And he is the one who has all the power. Our great God. God, the Holy Spirit, makes the preaching of his word effectual to his people. It's wonderful. And listen to why he says that. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. If it stands in the wisdom of man, it's going to fall. If a man can talk you into profession, he can talk you out of profession. Right? Paul writes this. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. We've been delivered, beloved. You ever think of this? We have been delivered by the power of God from our sins in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious, precious redeeming blood. It's he who saved us and not ourselves. Right? It's he who has reconciled us to God. And you know why? All according to the will and purpose of God. We're saved, sister, because it pleased God to do so. That's wonderful. Brother Dave, can you close us?